Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast. My name is Monique Coven, and I'm the host of the Healing Trauma Podcast. On this podcast, you will hear from trauma experts in the field sharing ways that we can understand trauma, how it impacts us, and more importantly, how we can move forward, how we can begin to feel safe in our bodies, in our relationships, and in the world. You're also going to hear from trauma survivors and how they are healing and what is helping them move forward. You are so welcome here, and we're glad that you're joining us today.
In today's episode, I'm sharing a conversation I had with Dr. Denise Amadinha. She's a trauma therapist and a psychologist, and her work centers around inner child healing. We're going to be talking about how we can help ourselves to be more prepared emotionally so that we could go into the holidays with our families of origin feeling compassionate towards ourselves. So now, on to the episode.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, Monique.
Welcome to the podcast. I thought we could talk about the holidays, and this is a time that is supposed to be a happy time. We are getting together often with families of origin. It brings up a lot of stuff. Even though we may be grown up and now have families of our own or not, maybe we're just adults, but we are gathering with this family of ours, it can be really challenging. We know that we are adults, not a child. But why, when we walk into that house, even if they walk into our house, we suddenly feel like a child again in some ways?
Such a great question to start with. And it's so incredibly frustrating, right? Especially if you feel like you're someone who's been doing the work, even, you know, going to therapy or self-help, whatever it is, but you feel that shift where it almost feels out of your control, that you're responding in ways or even just having intensity of feelings that maybe you haven't felt for an incredibly long time. I think there's a couple of reasons that happens for a lot of us. One, just being in that environment, whether it's your home or someone else's home, when you're surrounded by the system, it's very different with one person. I think that still, of course, can happen to us. But when you're in the whole system, the pull, it's like this gravitational pull back into your role to make the system function as it's used to functioning is so intensely strong, as well as the fact that for so many children, adult children, especially depending on the kind of characteristics of some of your parents or relatives, you know, oftentimes those are family members that are not willing to see us as a changed grown person. They might only be willing to see us as the person that we were really when we were so much more in survival mode. And we may have had difficulties or may not have had as many skills and capacities to navigate conversations or feelings. And sometimes it can be as if the moment we step into that home, into conversation, it's like those things are still held against us. And that pulls all sorts of feelings and reactions from us. More so, what I think often happens is that our work has been so much up here, in the head, in our minds, about the understanding of why things are the way they are, which is important, so important to do that work. But maybe it's been the understanding or just the reframes. And we don't always have the maybe haven't had the opportunity or the proper fit in terms of what's going to help us really excavate the inner child wounds that are driving some of our behavior and our feelings now, where it's like, it's literally like a time capsule locked inside of us. The intensity of the emotions is the same. The anger, the resentment, the hurt, the feeling unheard. It's like it's fresh. It's right there. And all the work that I mentioned is important. I don't want to discount that, but it's not the full picture for most of us when a lot of these wounds have started really early on in our lives. And it's younger parts of us that are showing up that are activated. It's not your adult self. Now, that doesn't mean that something someone says or does as you're an adult isn't hurtful, but the intensity of the reaction that we get from that is usually an indication that we have these younger parts that are at work that are showing up to remind us, like, hey, this is familiar pain. Remember all these times when this happened before and you didn't have support. No one was there. You didn't have skills to navigate it. So it's like we show up to holiday dinners in these adult bodies, but really it's like all these younger parts that are actually sitting at the table with us.
I want to pause there because I think what you're saying is actually really accurate. That's why we feel like so young. And we show up as the adult with our kids or with our partner or alone. And yet it's the inner child, that wounded part that felt all those things with our family of origin that is there in this moment. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the frustration because there might be a sense of like, I know I shouldn't respond or I shouldn't engage or I know this is just them. And yet I find myself doing all these things, feeling all these things. So that gap between knowing and being able to, you know, really validate our feelings in the moment and comfort ourselves and soothe ourselves. And maybe it's just certain types of boundaries that we might need to hold up in those situations. That becomes a lot harder if we haven't connected to those parts of ourselves. And that is really hard work. I don't say this flippantly by any means. It is such hard work, not because there's this pain that's there, but it really forces us to confront our experiences, parts of ourselves that we may have pushed aside, and sometimes even very long-standing generational patterns. And to be confronted with all of that at holiday gatherings, especially if you have repeated holiday gatherings, you know, which between Thanksgiving and Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever else you celebrate, there's a lot that's compressed in these times where it may not just be one sitting. It might be repeated exposure to these dynamics, and it makes us weary and tired and fatigued when we might have started with a feeling of strength and empowerment going into this, but it can really wear us down when we have to do all that work within ourselves over and over.
Well, I think what you just shared is making me consider prepping for this time so that we can maybe do something about what may come up. So do you have any suggestions?
Yes. I've said this before, whether on Instagram or other podcasts, but it is really important that whatever I share, you are the expert on yourself and your family dynamics. So take everything with the grain of salt. It has to apply to you. Please use your discernment because all of the things that we talk about are going to vary depending on your specific dynamics, your family's cultural background, the level of contact you have with your family. And really, we talk about that spectrum of emotionally immature family members all the way to narcissism. So all of that is different. Like the boundaries that I would encourage you to consider with someone who's lesser on the spectrum are going to be quite different for someone who has like a truly narcissistic family member.
Okay.
I just wanted to put that disclaimer out there, but prepping, I think, is so important because it helps us kind of re-harness our tools and keep them at the forefront and have a plan, comfort younger parts of ourselves, even bring in allies, whether it's our partner or other family members that we know are safe or more neutral. So that can be really empowering and lower our anxiety if you are feeling anxious about going into those things.
Can I just say something? I'm just thinking about myself and how I didn't have this information. And just having information about even what you said about depending on the spectrum that we're dealing with, is this a parent that's a narcissist? Or is this a parent that has a little bit of emotional immaturity or a lot of emotional immaturity? I did not even know at that time when I was a young mom that there was such a thing. I just said, it's extremely difficult and challenging. But even just having, and I don't want to say a label, but having understanding, it is a form of empowerment for us. It gives us a sense of this is what is happening. It's not my fault. I have nothing to do with this. What can I do about it? Sometimes, frankly, as we know with some emotionally immature parents, they don't have this ability to self-reflect. Therefore, there's not much that can be done. And so really, when we understand that, then we can do things. Okay, so how can I help myself to feel more empowered before I go in?
It makes so much sense. And I so appreciate you saying that, because that is so much, I think, where a lot of our conflict in adulthood comes from, with family members who exhibit difficult behaviors with us, is those younger parts are still trying to kind of get redemption for what their earlier wounds were. It's like, see me, if I can just make you understand, or if I point it out to you this way, and I bring this person in to share this evidence, and it just reopens that wound and pours more salt into it. And I think that information, and it's not about labeling someone, it's not about blaming someone, it's about understanding what's at play. Because that is what puts the power back in your hands, where you can say, I am letting go. And that's a process. I'm actively trying to let go of the intent to change this person. What do I have control over? I have control over what happens on my end. And that doesn't just mean my response. It also means how I take care of myself, knowing that that person lacks the capacity, the ability, the willingness to do that for me. So I'm taking the power in my own hands to do these things and to really keep myself safe, protect myself, and protect my peace. So that is, I so love that you said that, because we do want to come in from this empowered place. And I think the biggest reminder that I want to give people is that you have choice.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our body goes through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we don't suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over again in their reviews. And there's more than 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HEALING at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. Use the code HEALING for 15% off today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That is not something you have when you're a child growing up in these dynamics. You have choice, albeit it may not be all the choices that you wish you had, but you are not stuck in the same way. You don't have the same differential. Sure, those power struggles and control struggles are still at play in dysfunctional families, but the reality is you are an adult. You have more control over your own body, where you go, leaving the room, taking a break, finding an ally, right? All those things that you may not have had access to as a child. So that's so important, just kind of in that preparatory phase of going into this, is reminding yourself, my goal is not to change someone. My goal is not to try to get them to see my perspective or to really hear me out this time. My goal is I'm visiting in their world this time. I'm not inviting them into mine. And that's part of how I protect myself. And how do I navigate that visit accordingly? I need to know what my triggers are. Right? The conversations where a comment might be made that's judgmental or critical about some part of my life, my appearance, my partner, my kids, they only talk about themselves. And that feels really activating. Whatever it might be, know what your triggers are. Know who they're with. When that shows up, we really want to validate our own feelings. And that's the thing we're often looking for from that family member, is that validation. That empathy, that's just not within their capacity. So our work, especially as it relates to our younger parts, is to be able to be the one who sees that younger self, right? So if you can practice naming and validating your feelings without relying on someone else to do that, that is an incredibly powerful place to start. And you're just doing that quietly within yourself. If you need to, and you have the ability to, remove yourself, go look at yourself in the mirror and talk to your younger self, right? Is I see you. It's okay to feel hurt and disappointed. That was a really hurtful comment. I'm here to protect you. Whatever that might sound like for you. But if you know those triggers, you can validate yourself when they happen. Acknowledge the needs of your younger self, of your inner child. You can, if it feels right, if it feels like you have the capacity to do it in the moment, that might be a place where you set a gentle boundary when someone is, you know, if there's a person who's more likely to be a little more difficult to be around. Limit your exposure to that person when you can. But if there's a hurtful comment, again, this is the lesser end of the spectrum here. Thanks for sharing your perspective, or I'm choosing what feels right for me now. When we're on the greater end of the spectrum, what we're really talking about, though, are internal boundaries, where I'm going to expect you to act just as you always have. I'm not going to have this unrealistic hope just because it's the holidays that you're going to be different. When I expect you to act as you always have, not only am I prepared, but when you do the thing that's always what you do, it doesn't unground me. I can step back and watch it from a distance and go, oh, well, here's the pattern, right? It's happening again. I validate my feelings, and maybe I need to go do something to soothe myself. It's great if we can step away or go find someone who's safe or comfortable for us to just like decompress with. But when that's not available to you, you're sitting at the table, maybe you're eating, or you're just kind of forced to be standing with a group of people, I would say really focus on what might feel soothing and accessible for your body in that moment. Use whatever is around you to ground yourself. If you can't ground using your own body, like your feet or your hands, is there something you're holding under the table, right? Even if it's like your napkin or silverware, or you have something in your pocket that you can just hold on to as you focus on that and take care of yourself for a moment. If you can excuse yourself, go to the bathroom, go for a walk. But those things aren't always available to us. So I'm going to slow down there and just kind of recap what I said, because I know I'm moving to a couple different places. But I think what I'm sharing here is prepare for what tends to be triggering. Acknowledge and validate the pain that comes with that. Have a plan in place for how you're going to take care of yourself. If there is a boundary that feels right or skillful, have it in your back pocket, right? Rehearse a few lines so that they feel more comfortable. It is hard for us when we've been in these dynamics to feel assertive, and prepare yourself for how you're going to navigate the potential guilt that might come after that. And that's where your inner child work is really important, because I don't want you to think about speaking to yourself as the adult through these situations. Is think about speaking to the little you, who you're kind of coaching to feel like they have the right to use their voice. They have the right to protect themselves. That lands much differently for us than when we're an adult and we're like, oh, no, you should just let it go. Or like, just let them do their thing. When it's a little kid, we feel much more protective of those parts of ourselves. So that's where I would start. But again, use your discernment in terms of if boundaries, expressing explicit boundaries are skillful, there are certain people where that can just create more difficulties and wreak more havoc for you because they'll use that against you. They know where your vulnerable spots are. But if you're on that lesser end of the spectrum, think about what it would look like for you to use your voice in a way that feels like it fits for you. And again, your family culture, even if that means like framing boundaries in a way that helps you stay connected to the values of your family or your culture. So for example, you're turning something down, not because you're saying, I don't want to do that. And, you know, you're bad, this and that, but turning something down, couching it as this will allow me to spend more time with you all later today, or I'll be able to join in for more events if I can do this thing to take care of myself or my family. So I think if we can give that reinforcer, that incentive, it feels like there's a lot more compromise and it lands a little more softly than being perceived as something that's self and it's just selfish and it's just all about me. That makes sense.
Yeah, those are really good things. I love this because when I think back to myself and I would get anticipatory of what's going to happen. So already I'm expecting. And then when it does, there it is. And I'm all feeling all kinds of stuff. I love this idea of going in prepared somewhat so that it's not such a shock. And then we can feel more grounded. And so if I understood you correctly, you're talking about the impact it's having on the child inside of us?
The child inside of us, because what you're feeling in the moment, the intensity, how long it sticks around, part of that is our younger self
yes.
re-experiencing those wounds. So yes, it's you feeling it in the moment, but there's also little versions of you standing behind that that are also standing up and saying, oh no, we need to protect ourselves. And that's where I think all of us start seeing our old patterns show up in response to that. Is maybe I suddenly become the people pleaser again, or I'm really over accommodating, or I make myself super small, I become perfectionistic. All of those parts of us that show up in response to that pain because we're trying to protect ourselves again.
Yes. And you did say something about how it's easier when we think about it, the child in us versus the adult.
I think most of us struggle with compassion towards ourselves as adults. The more trauma, and there's research on this, the more trauma you have, the harder it is to be self-compassionate. And so much of that circles around the shame that you carry when you've experienced trauma, various types of trauma. But that truly is a hallmark of childhood trauma in particular, is a struggle to be compassionate towards yourself. Think about the voices that you've internalized, whether spoken or unspoken dynamics as you're growing up. That is the voice that you carry rather than a compassionate voice. And I think the more we get into adulthood, we sort of carry on with a lot of that tough love towards ourselves. And we have so much around us that, you know, in our society that supports kind of motivating ourselves in that way. So that compassion is very difficult in a moment where you're in distress. It's really easy to switch into judgment, self-criticism, minimization, all the voices and experiences that you've had as a child. That's what shows up for us. But when you can picture, and maybe you even hold, you know, storing, this is something that I have on my own phone. I have a file folder with pictures of my little self at different ages. And sometimes I just pull it up when I'm journaling, but sometimes if it's a difficult moment or there's a stressful day, something's gotten stirred up for me, that helps me click into things a lot faster. Because when I look at a little kid, you're thinking about saying those hurtful words to a little kid and it lands differently. Now, that is going to be more accessible for some people depending on the type of work and the level of work that you've done. Because for some of us, when we start to do this work and you go towards speaking compassionately to yourself, even a younger part, you can have all sorts of pain and difficult feelings that come up. So I do just want to mention that because it does happen for people and it doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong or there's something wrong with you. That happens because it's revealing to us where the pain is. It's revealing that is an unmet need, essentially. So again, use your discernment. If that feels like you don't quite have the capacity to go there just yet, see if you can find other ways to connect with those younger parts. A picture is not the only way, right? Holding yourself in your mind, thinking about someone that you love that feels more accessible to you, or even thinking about someone who's older and wiser, or a coach or mentor that you've had that has spoken to you in that way. We just want to capture some of that for ourselves so that in a moment where we're struggling, maybe you did say something that you didn't plan on saying. Maybe you let that family member get the best of you and you're upset that you're like, why am I so upset about this? Like, that's who they are. They always do this. Why am I surprised? I shouldn't have let this get to me. Those are the moments where we need to be really compassionate with ourselves. It makes sense that that was so upsetting. It makes sense that they pulled that reaction from you. And then we comfort, we soothe, we remind ourselves what skills and capacities we do have. But it is so important to take care of yourself and be gentle with yourself, because these are the buttons that were programmed from childhood, sometimes from birth, depending on what circumstances we're talking about. And your nervous system reacts so, so quickly to that familiar.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. So I love that. And a lot of your work is actually based around inner child work.
It is. You know, it's interesting because I remember even coming into my graduate programs, I just always had a pull towards looking at things from kind of this attachment standpoint. As I went into my school and training, everything was so heavily focused on evidence-based therapies, which is so important. There's a place for those things. We need to honor those things because they do absolutely work for some people, but they tend to be a lot more cognitive. And as I went through my training, I sort of came back to my roots, but in an integrative way, where we're looking from an attachment lens and how that's connected to our neurobiology and our nervous system. But we're also bringing in mindfulness-based approaches, and we're looking at how what's happening in the nervous system is connected to your thoughts and your belief system and how all of that plays out into your patterns. So for me, it's been kind of this, you know, it's similar to my healing journey, like really a path back to myself and what I naturally feel called towards. But people find this work so incredibly impactful because it not just addresses the thinking parts, right? Like, what were you conditioned to believe as a child based on these experiences? What emotions are being held in your body? How is that showing up in your body? And in this work, you use your body kind of as a portal into your younger parts. We're understanding, of course, more and more. I love that we see this so much on Instagram in particular, like this big movement towards integrating body-based approaches. In my view, personally, it's not one or the other. It's we need all of it. We are not, you know, disconnected from the neck down. Everything is connected to each other. And I think hopefully in 10, 20 years, we're going to see even more integration of these more holistic modalities. But the dysregulation that happens for us in the body related to these early experiences with the family member that we might be sitting with at our holiday dinners, right? Being minimized, dismissed, shamed, punished, whether that's just emotionally or even physically and beyond, those are wounds that are not just held in our belief systems. They are truly held in the body. And we really, you might even see that as you walk into holiday events, just notice your posture. Do you suddenly turn inwards and your shoulders are, you know, kind of curled in? Do you feel that tension in your chest? Is your stomach upset? Are you sweaty? Do you have a racing heart? These are all our body's signals to us that they're about to go in a situation where they might feel extremely hypervigilant, anxious,
right?
You feel unsafe in some way, threatened, absolutely. And your body is preparing you for that. And we don't want to dismiss that as like, oh, that's just my inner child. And that's not what's happening here. Because for most of us, sure, you might have family members that have softened through aging. You might have family members that have even done some of their own work and made some improvements around the edges. But your body remembers what it felt like to be in a relationship with those people. And it is going to show up without your conscious awareness, because your body acts faster than your thinking. And it is going to start responding for you. And I think this is part of what gets tricky with our trauma healing and our trauma work is we have to discern what is a response that's really signaling something important to me in this moment that's valid and accurate as far as what's happening versus what's something old that just got stirred up and it's not actually happening in the here and now. But with family, I think that's a place, again, where you need to look at your triggers, be realistic with yourself about the people that you're around and their current capacities, because what's showing up for you is probably pretty valid in the moment. It may not mean that it is as threatening as it was when you were a child, but it doesn't make it any less valid, the feelings that are there, if that makes sense.
Total
distinction.
Totally.
Well, thank you. I think that this little piece will have a big impact. At least that's what I'm hearing. And I hope that people will take some of this to heart, think about it so that they can come prepared and feel like they have a little bit more agency, which is what we want. And of course, compassion for yourselves.
Yes, absolutely. For everyone navigating this, whatever your circumstances or level of contact looks like, I think the two biggest pieces to maybe three biggest pieces to hold on to are just reminding yourself that you are an adult and recognizing how far you have come in terms of the decisions you're making, the skills that you have, focusing on letting go of the need to fix people or change them, and remembering that your worth is not measured by what your family thinks or how they respond to you. If you can hold some space for those things before going into those events and you make your own little plan, even if it's minimal, you are giving yourself such a gift. You're giving your inner child such a gift, saying, I see you. I know this is going to be difficult, and I'm here to help take care of you. Like, that feels so regulating. And be forgiving of yourself and compassionate when you make a mistake. It's not going to go perfectly. We're all human beings being healed. Even when you're a person, a psychologist who teaches these things and studies them, we are all human beings. We all have reactions. You having feelings doesn't mean that you haven't done your work or you haven't healed, but you have the ability to make different choices now. And that's what's most important, to keep that sense of power within you instead of trying to give it to someone else to heal you.
I love that. What a beautiful, beautiful way to end. I'm going to leave your information in the show notes. Also a link to your amazing program, which is really all about inner child work and working with you. Thank you so much for joining us. We will have you back again.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Monique. I love being here.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.